all these years of our church history, there's obviously some wonderful memories of you guys when you were here for 4 or 5 years, growing your family, serving this church as youth pastors, associates, however we want to kind of spin that. So I know that many of us were blessed by their ministry. Some of you might even been in their youth group, or some of you were parents of kids that were in the youth group. So I know that this church was really blessed during your time. But I want you to just to know, because some of you don't know them, but lots of you know me. So let me share part of my story about us, is that when I felt called to ministry, I didn't go to Bible college, right? I was in retail for almost 10 years, and I got called into ministry. And so I started at Bethany Church, and I had to do correspondence study. I thought, I can't just take a job without some certificates on the wall. So I started taking correspondence studies. And the first course I took, I remember you phoned me. You were the district youth director. You're running the history maker at that time. And you said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm doing this and that and taking courses. And so you came, and you spoke at our church, and we met at Boston Pizza. And you asked me again, you said, are you still taking that course? And I said, yeah, it's a stretch for our family. You know, we've got a kid. You know, we don't have a lot of money, all this kind of stuff. And you just leaned over and you gave me a check for $500. And I said, I want to pay for the first course for you because I believe in you. And I stand here today because of people like you. So thank you so much, Darcy. Love you guys.
That Boston Pizza lunch, and we were so excited to do that and invest in you. You know, when you travel around the world and around BC, Yukon, you meet quality people. And so actually a big chunk of our life now is doing that. That's, if you wanted to bottle it all down to what we do, it's that. It's invest in leaders.
And to see them do well and thrive. And sometimes we get stuck, right? Sometimes we're going through life and we get stuck, and Darcy and I love to come close to people like that and to, you know, help get them unstuck, which is pretty neat. So yes, we're Darcy and Leanne McAllister. We were here actually 2 years ago this month. Can I just say a lot has happened? Can I just say that? Oh my goodness. Anyway, since we've been with you, we actually moved to Asia, to a significant city in Asia. We don't actually say the name of it because we're online and such, but it's been a crazy time.
It has been a crazy time, and we've seen protests, we've smelled tear gas, we've been stuck in many quarantines, we've had opportunity to minister where we didn't even know that there was opportunity to minister, and God has been good. And in the middle of it, actually, in the middle of the pandemic last year, we decided to do Freedom Youth Ministries online. And so we gathered, I think altogether there would have been about 50 of the Freedom Youth Ministries gang from back in the 90s who gathered online over a couple of Zoom calls.
And they're literally across Canada, down into the States. Like, it was just an amazing, you just threw it out there and said, you know.
Let's try it.
Now, all of these kids are in their 40s, okay? So, yeah,
but it was,
there's that.
But it was fun to remind them and remind us about what God had done back at TPA in the 1990s. And how he had moved and who they were in him. And that was really special.
It was actually really fun to watch Darcy get right back into youth pastor mode. And it was just so much fun to watch him. But yes, reminding people of who they are. Yeah. You know, because sometimes life beats us up a little bit. Sometimes we kind of lose the plot on our own lives. Anybody losing the plot at times? And so it was a time to pull them back and to remind them. So
we work with leaders. And as part of this work with leaders, Leanne leads something called the Zoe Network, which activates both women and men into God's mission and does that through two main ways. One is through discipleship and leadership training online. And there have been actually hundreds of people trained online through Zoe.
Yep.
And then also through Zoe Projects, which connects Canadians to the work that our POC missionaries do with women around the world, and a number of different projects through health, education, those who've suffered through gender-based violence, and also economic empowerment initiatives.
So, yeah. Because the mission of God's all around us, right? Sometimes we think that, mission is for the professional Christians like Pastor Rob, right? But actually, the mission of God is all around us, and each one of us has been invited to participate in it very uniquely. And so we like to help people really discover their part in God's mission and, help them get going. So it's been a real ride this past 18 months.
And thank you for praying for us, for supporting us. I can't even put into words what it means to be on the other side of the world, but knowing that there are people who are praying, who are supporting as you take this step off the cliff into the unknown.
Yeah, just knowing that you're not alone and that if we were ever in a crisis or something, we really feel like we could reach out here and you guys would have us. So we're just so grateful for that. So Darcy and I moved to Asia in January 2020. We were here in September. We actually moved the beginning of January. You know, we moved with lots of great plans. I mean, it was going to be awesome. I want you to know that.
There were flowcharts, there were strategies, charted out.
Yes, like we tend to be quite strategic in our leadership, and so we had a plan. Instead, we encountered protests and political unrest in our city. So our city, it continues to be on the news. COVID-19 hit our city 3 weeks after we landed. And so it restricted our movement. We have faced 5 quarantines for a total of 11 weeks in isolation in the last 18 months. The most challenging one was in Asia this last January, where they locked us in a hotel room with no fresh air for 21
days. It was a romantic getaway.
21 days. And he always tries to spin this, like, isn't this wonderful? Like, the romance, right? Anyway, it reminds me of, like, Psalm 139, where it says, you know when I sit down or stand up, you know everything I do, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it. You go before me, you follow me.
Leanne.
I can never escape.
Leanne. Psalm 139 is talking about God.
It's not
God.
About us.
It's not about us. So let's get our theology straight.
The real moment was when I went and did a Zoom meeting by the toilet so that I could actually close the door. So anyway, it's been a crazy time. In those 18 months, we actually welcomed our first 2 grandchildren. Nicholas has a little boy named Liam, who's now 18 months old, and then Benjamin has little Charlotte, or Charlie, who's 1 year old. And, you know, you have these grandbabies, and you can't even see them. You couldn't touch them because of the quarantines and all of that. I think the low light was last Christmas Eve when Darcy and I were in Canada, and we were sitting on our couch alone thinking, our lives suck. Officially.
For each of us, if we were to sit with you, there would be adventures. We'd hear many stories, strange adventures with the intense feelings that come with them, disappointments, fears, mental health issues, financial challenges, faith crises. We've all been on this journey, and it can feel like, wow, what's just happened these past 2 years?
I remember early on in it, I kind of decided that I wasn't going to waste it. I didn't want to just get through the pandemic having survived it. I wanted to have it as an experience that would serve as a deep learning experience for me. And so my prayer was, may I not get to the end of this the same as when we started, but may I be matured in Christ as he forms himself in me. So
Leanne made that as a decision. For me, it was a journey. Maybe I'm less spiritual, I don't know. But as we see things begin to open up here in Canada and can gather together again, we're reminded of a moment in Israel's history. Mm-hmm. The book of Exodus records the 40-year-long journey that the Israelites took leaving Egypt and moving towards the promised land. The book of Joshua continues that story, where they enter and begin to possess this promised land. And so here we are, we're sort of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and perhaps we can liken it to coming out of the desert. So in Joshua chapter 4, they've just left the wilderness and they're on the cusp of the new chapter. I mean, we're complaining about 2 years, they did 4 decades. but instead of charging ahead into this new chapter, Joshua had them stop and pause. And Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 to 8 says this. So Joshua called together the 12 men he'd chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and he told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' And then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever.'"
So raising stones as a memorial is actually common in the Old Testament. And there were two purposes for these marker moments. First, it was a community practice of pausing to remember almost between seasons of time. And I like to think of it almost as chapters. They were on a threshold, leaving the past and entering into the unknown. And it's that at that moment that they stopped. They stopped to look back and remember. Secondly, it marked that something important happened. It's almost like, okay, can we just take a moment and acknowledge that this happened? And it was a way to provoke questions for future generations that those that hadn't been there to see it with their own eyes would ask, you know, what's this about? And the elders, which is all of us, could begin to tell the story of God at work, how God came through, his miraculous intervention. And so the markers made sure that the stories would continue to be told and not be lost throughout the generations.
So I love being outside. I love exploring. I love hiking and those kind of things. And in mountain climbing, there's a thing called a piton. And it's not python. It's piton, a French word. And it's a metal spike that's driven into a crack or seam in the climbing surface with a climbing hammer. And it acts as an anchor to protect the climber against the consequences of a fall or to assist progress in climbing. So I don't know if you've seen those pictures of a climber in a hammock on a mountainside, like on a cliff, hanging from one of these.
And taking a nap.
So when you reach a new spot in your climb, you hammer in the piton and it allows you to pause in your new spot. It gives you this safe space to look back at where you've been, to look ahead as to where you're going to go. And for those mountains that have been climbed before, like you can actually look for the pitons in the rock and actually follow that route of someone who's gone
right
before you. See those pitons in the mountainside.
So we read here that they paused to mark the moment, to remember, to testify, preparing them for the next leg of the journey, because the next chapter was going to require a large measure of faith, right? It's one thing to be told, oh, here's your, you know, this is the land that you've been given, and it's quite another to actually possess it. And so when we read through the rest of the book of Joshua, you see all kinds of things, a series of tests and failures and miracles, this mixed bag of experiences, but they did it. They experienced God, walked into the promise, and then at the end of the book, they pause again to mark the moment with stones.
And you see that stone again, like Joshua
yes
actually gets the stones out again to remember. So this is such a beautiful practice mm-hmm of marking moments, and we need to learn from this practice before we start charging off into our next chapter. Leanne and I have been reading the Bible chronologically together this year
we are still in the Old Testament, people.
And sometimes,
we're in Ezra right now.
And sometimes the Old Testament can get challenging. But the thing that we noticed in the Old Testament, which kept coming up again and again with the nation of Israel, was the sin of forgetfulness.
Right.
Deuteronomy 32, you neglected the rock who'd fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth. Judges chapter 3, they forgot. They forgot when they came out of the the land of Egypt. Like it just, there was all these forgetful moments. Yeah. Judges 8, they forgot the Lord their God. Psalm 106, they forgot God their Savior who had done such great things. Isaiah 51, yet you have forgotten the Lord your Creator, the one who stretched out the sky like a canopy and laid the foundations of the earth. This forgetfulness didn't take a long time to happen. In fact, it seemed like they would forget within a generation. Now, the record for forgetfulness is 6 weeks. Mm. Like, you'll remember the story of the plagues of Egypt and how God brought the Israelites through all those plagues that the Egyptians faced and then brought them to the edge of the Red Sea. And then Charlton Heston took his rod and he smashed it down on the water and the Red Sea parted. They were making a movie as it happened. The Israelites crossed on the dry land and the Egyptians came in. They were swallowed up by the water. Like this was
epic.
Songs were written. And 6 weeks later, it says in Exodus chapter 16, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, and this is 6 weeks later.
6 weeks.
If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted.
They were in slavery, but yes.
But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. This is 6 weeks after the miracle. Yeah. And we go, wow, those Israelites are stupid, aren't they? Just forgetting how God was with them, how he'd helped, how he led them with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night and manna every morning. But before we get too judgy, we would like to suggest that this is a human problem.
Yeah.
We're quick to forget who God is, what he's done for us, and who we are in him.
So today we want to raise some stones. Does that sound good? Raise some stones looking back on the last 18 months. I mean, it's the question of what do we not want to forget? Let's build a memorial. It always starts with let's not forget who God is. God revealed who he was throughout their journey. There were the highs, there were the lows, but every opportunity was an opportunity for them to understand the nature of this God they were serving. He showed his faithfulness when they were faithless. He showed his relentlessness towards them. He kept course correcting them. He kept saying, come back to me. Even when they were whining in the desert 6 weeks later, he was constantly saying, come back to me. He used everything. Every experience to shape them into who they were, because they were the people of God and nothing was wasted in the journey. You know, God has shown us who he is throughout this pandemic. And what have we learned? For each of us, this answer likely may be different because God is such a personal God, which I absolutely love, meeting us where we are. But we thought perhaps Darcy and I could share a little of what we've learned, and it may resonate some with you, and it also may help you to identify your own stones. So one of the things that I have learned is that this is God's story. God is the God of the promise, and nothing can thwart his plan. You know, with the Israelites, God made a way for them, and it wasn't the story of the perseverance of the people of God. Hear me on that. That was not the story. Rather, it was God's story from beginning to end. And sometimes I think we get confused that somehow what we are living is our story. And God is the supporting character, and we give him a lot of props for what he's doing in our story. But no, this is his story that we are living, and we are just graciously invited to be a part of it, right? And related to this is God's sovereignty. There's nothing that happens outside of his scope and authority. See, when we moved to Asia with all of our flow charts, and they were color coordinated, right? they were thwarted. All of that was just sort of out the window, and we were frustrated, but God showed us that he was in control and that he would accomplish what he set out to accomplish in and through our lives, and it was just amazing.
So one of the things that was on our flowchart is we had an opportunity to do a marriage conference with a church. It was going to probably be in their church basement with egg salad sandwiches or noodles or something, you know, like with 30, 40 couples. And we were excited to do that. But then on that Christmas Eve, as we sat alone, changed the rules and made it 3 weeks of quarantine in a hotel rather than two. And so all of a sudden we were going to be in our quarantine hotel when the marriage conference was supposed to be on. And so we said to the church, what should we do? We can't be with you, and the rules are changing, and there's kind of a lockdown going on. And so we actually took 40 days and prayed for 40 days with a group of people, and we decided to do the marriage conference on Zoom. And when it launched, there was over 500 people in attendance from 10 nations.
All throughout Asia.
And out of that came a marriage alpha. Out of that, we've done marriage seminars and marriage mentoring to seven different language groups.
We're working with leaders from seven different language groups that are actually taking our material and translating it into their own language. And now that is being used. There's opportunity throughout Asia. And so here's the thing. We had our little plan with the egg salad sandwiches, which I love. I want you to know. But we had our little plan, and God goes, "Oh no! I'm going to make this something different. You're gonna be maybe frustrated, but this is my story, and let me show you what I'm going to do."
And in the same way, we'd planned on our flowchart to do some leadership training with the Zoe Network to train leaders. And so, again, we had booked two churches, basements, with egg salad sandwiches. Notice the theme. One in Eastern Canada and one in Western Canada where we were going to train leaders. And when COVID hit, we had to cancel those two church basements. And instead, we went online. And since that time, there's been well over 200 leaders who've been trained, which is more than would have come to the church basements.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this is his story. Like, we have in our minds what we think it's supposed to be and what it's going to look like, but I have learned to just trust him and just go with what he's doing.
Because we've learned that God is entirely faithful. He's with us. For our devos, as we said, we're reading through the Bible chronologically, and as we were reading this story, it was one of our more difficult moments because we got word that Canada was changing their quarantine to an expensive one. It wasn't quarantine at home. It was quarantine in a hotel. And we're like, oh, no. And our plans were already made and couldn't be changed. And so I just remember sitting there discouraged. But we learned that God is faithful. Yeah. And a passage of Scripture that really jumped at us was the story of how when the Israelites arrived in the promised land, the first day that they had the fruit from the promised land was the day that the manna stopped.
Yep.
There was no gaps.
No gaps.
And so we started to pray for no gaps in our provision.
Yeah, and sometimes you get a little nervous and I just say to you, no gaps. And sometimes we take turns falling apart. Isn't this wonderful? But then you would remind me of the same thing. God has been entirely faithful in providing for us. He is faithful. So we've learned a lot about who God is. And I want you to think about, what have you learned? What have you learned? We've also learned about who we are in him. You know, the pandemic has been like a shaping experience. Shaping experiences are kind of pressure-filled sort of things that we go through that forms us in some way. With Moses and Joshua and the people of Israel, God had them on a journey to the promised land, but it wasn't just a physical journey. It was a spiritual journey through which they were shaping them to be who they were meant to be. He was taking them from a place of slavery to a place of freedom and abundance. They were free. But they were also the people of the promise. They were set apart from Abraham's call way back, I think, in Genesis 12. From that moment, they were called to be a blessing to the nations. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. And so the question was, would they cooperate with God and become who they were meant to be? Hmm. Now, about halfway through the pandemic, we were in Asia, and I was a bit discouraged. Again, we take turns. It's wonderful. But I picked up a book called Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger. Has anyone read that book? Okay, it's like a classic book. I never read it before. But let me give you a brief synopsis. Jackie landed in Hong Kong from Britain in the late 60s. She was in her early 20s and began to minister in the infamous Walled City, a place of immense poverty and corruption. Early on, she met a Chinese couple who had something, and she was intrigued. And they explained to her, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she was quite offended. She was an Anglican, Church of England, and she thought, well, I already have the Holy Spirit. But she prayed with them quite reluctantly, was filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues, but she didn't continue to use the gift. She then met an American couple who asked her if she was baptized in the Spirit, and she says, yeah, but it doesn't do much for me. I'll never forget reading this because they said to her, how rude. God gives you a gift and you aren't using it. She began to challenge herself to speak in tongues for 15 minutes every day, and then said there was a flow that began in her ministry that just wasn't there before. I mean, people who hadn't been interested were suddenly interested. All of this was happening. Now, I read this in a local coffee shop. I was about 15-minute walk from home. And Holy Spirit challenged me because I've been given the gift of tongues. And I tell you, I'm your girl. Like, if you have an emergency, you need prayer, I will be there. And I will call on heaven on your behalf. But I was challenged. Am I using this gift daily? And I thought, I don't think I am. 15-minute walk home. We have to wear our masks 24/7 except when we're in our flat. So you can do anything in this city. It doesn't matter. I put this mask on and spoke in tongues all the way home. My mouth was tired, and I thought, no, I have not been doing this. I told Darcy about this, of something that had happened, and we just decided to play with this. And so for 15 minutes a day, we were speaking in tongues. There began to be a flow in our ministry that it was crazy. God was opening up things, like God was just putting things in front of us. And I had begun to forget who I was in Him. I had begun to, you know, throughout difficult times, you start to like problem solve. You try to get everything in a row and try to make it all work together. And yet God was reminding me, I have gifted you and I want you to walk out in who I have made you to be. Whether I'm in a pandemic or not, I am called to be a blessing. And it was game changing for me. So that's something that I will never forget.
When we went to Asia, one of the things that I committed to is I said, Lord, I want to be a missionary for you. I want to engage in the ministries that were there and engage with the churches, but I also want to be a Christian in our community and to be able to share Jesus in our local community. And so that experience that Leanne had really impacted me in that. So I began to pray in the Spirit as we were out and about in our daily lives, like the getting the groceries, the picking up the produce, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And a couple times a week on Tuesday afternoons and Saturday mornings, I play community tennis to try and stay fit. And so I actually began to pray for the people who I played tennis with. So I began to pray for them. And I actually found myself like holding my tennis racket, waiting to hit the ball and speaking in tongues. And I said to myself, this is really weird. Like, you are weird, Darcy. And I'm like, but it was good. And we had opportunity to share our faith. I remember bringing a Bible to one of our guys. And I gave him the Bible before the match. And it just kind of rocked his world. We talked about it. And at the end of the match, he stops all the other players and he says, hey, Darcy's a Christian. And he believes in God. What do you all believe? And and we start to have this conversation, like a community tennis conversation about Jesus. And it was really special, like just really significant. As you walk in the Spirit, it's not just in church that God moves. It's in your out and about daily life. And I loved being reminded of who we are in Christ.
Being reminded, right. Yeah. So we have a pile of stones, like seriously. I mean, we just kind of, this is the tip of it for us. But it's representing God at work in and around us. And remember, the stones serve a purpose to provoke questions in future generations. Like, hey, what was that pandemic like? You know? And the elders, which are all of us, are going to testify and tell the story of God at work. Tell of his miraculous interventions and tell them over and over again. And so our encouragement to you today is to testify. And I'm not sure what you need to do, what it's going to look like in your life. We've been traveling a lot across Western Canada this past couple of months. Everywhere you go, people are in coffee shops complaining. And I get it. But as the people of God, can we actually elevate the conversation past masks, past mandates, past all of that, elevate the conversation to testify and confess with our mouths all of the ways God showed up, is showing up, and will show up. Because what it does is it will build your faith. And it will build the faith of people around you. All through the pandemic, we've been singing the song, "All My Life You Have Been Faithful." Do you know that song? All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. See, when we acknowledge the stones, when we pile them up, and when we point to them and tell concrete stories of who God is and who we are through him, the only response is praise, which we were a part of collectively today, but it also brings hope for the future, right? Mm. Hope for the future.
And as you share your stories, there is a world out there who are hungry for hope, who are hungry for a relationship with Jesus, and you have that.